Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this day and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, you would draw us closer to yourself. And Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. It was absolutely horrible, horrible. I couldn't believe what happened from peace to chaos, from known to unknown, from friendships to enemies. As many of you know, I was born in Columbus, Ohio, and around 2 years old, my family moved to Cleveland. And when I think about my growing up years, it was in Cleveland, my time in Cleveland, nursery school, elementary school, playing next door to the church, or playing in the church next door, performing weddings, directing the choir, playing the organ, and yes, even preaching. I remember hitting my first pitch in Little League for a home run. Well, there wasn't a fence, and so the ball went in between the center fielder and the right fielder, and it just kept rolling and rolling. And at the age of 10, we moved to Dayton, Ohio. This was akin to moving to the South from the North during the Civil War. For as much as Cleveland seemed peaceful and quiet to me, Dayton was loud and busy. Moving from a school system where if you said H-E double toothpicks, which was eye-raising, to the hardly frowned upon F this and F that that assaulted my ears day after day. It wasn't about making friends so much as trying to stay out of the paths of bullies. No, Dayton was by no means like Cleveland. You see, life had drastically changed, and it wasn't for the better. Where was God in the midst of this stressful and somewhat painful time in my life? Is the question that I would look back and say to myself, I should have asked that. I wonder, have you ever thought where God was in moments like these in your life? As we have worked our way through the Bible, we've seen two stories existing side by side. The upper story, which is God's story, and the lower story, which is our story. In the upper story, if we were to sum up in one sentence what it would be like, it would be this. God creating us to be in relationship with us. God creating us to be in relationship with us. The upper story is God's story about the one true living God creating a universe, a world, really an environment for people to live and breathe, and then attempting to be in a vital and ongoing relationship with these people. The lower story, if I were to sum that up in a sentence, it would be this. People seeking fulfillment, which can only be found in God. People seeking fulfillment, which can only be found in God. You see, the lower story is our story. It's your story and it's my story. Seeking true acceptance and wholeness, which can only be found in an ongoing relationship with the Creator. There's a place in our heart, our soul, which remains incomplete and can only be whole when we are walking day by day with the Lord. And yet from creation until the time of Israel, from Genesis through the prophets, God has been seeking this relationship with people, and people keep filling that vacant place in their hearts, that vacant place in their souls, sometimes with God and sometimes with false gods, and sometimes with just the things of this world. Now, because of Israel and Judah's unfaithfulness to God, because they were filling their hearts with the things of the world and false gods, first Israel was taken into captivity by Assyria. You can see on the map on the screen, it is a map of the Middle East, and the darker tan area is an expansive empire, the Assyrian Empire, reaching from the Persian Gulf up to and into Asia Minor, and then down through the Promised Land and into Egypt. And even though this shows Jerusalem and Judea as being a part of the Assyrian Empire, it was not. God would not and did not allow Judah to be taken captive by the Assyrians. When God could no longer wait for Judah to return to himself, however, then God allowed the Babylonian Empire, which is seen on this map in the purple outline, the basic Persian Gulf to not quite as high in Asia Minor, down through the Promised Land into Egypt. God allowed the Babylonian Empire to conquer Judah, really, at this point, conquer Jerusalem, where one-third of the population died in the siege. And the poorest third were allowed to stay and continue to work the land for Babylon. And then there was the third who was taken into captivity and sent to Babylon. Kind of like how I felt when I moved from Cleveland to Dayton, being taken into captivity where nothing was the same. God was not honored. The language had changed, and the only one you knew were the people that moved with you. I think we've all been in that place where we've moved from the familiar to the unfamiliar. Maybe changing schools as you grow up. Maybe just growing up and moving out. A job change. A new home. Marriage. We've all been forced out of our comfort zones to an unfamiliar place. And it hasn't always necessarily been the best of times. And sometimes we wonder if God is still with us. Now it's during this time that the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, had asked for the best of the captives that showed promise to be trained to take positions in the king's administration. A group of four young Hebrew men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken in as possibilities. Daniel and his friends, however, continued to seek and be in relationship with God by following God's law, even though they were in the midst of Babylon. And so when they were given food from the king's table, they refused, which caused some problems with the chief official who was over them. You see, Daniel did not want to defile himself. Now on a side note, did you know that God originally gave Adam and Eve every seed-bearing plant and fruit of the tree for food? This was how they were nourished. God's food for God's people. And Daniel did not want to stray from that. Read on the screen with me. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. Guess what happened after 10 days? What did the official see of Daniel and his friends? Were they wasting away? No. It states at the end of 10 days they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the official was willing to continue with their diet. And it states this in the next verse. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. You see, they remained faithful to God. And God remained faithful to them. Even in the midst of what must have been a difficult move for the Jewish people, two things happened for these four friends. They still chose to serve God, to worship and follow God. Even when God stopped protecting them from their enemies, even when faced with captivity, then being forced to do something which was not in accordance to God's law. Let's look at it. We're all faced from time to time with either going along with others who are choosing to operate outside of God's will or staying the course with God and maybe being judged as peculiar or left out of the group altogether when we choose to be with God. You see, there was a time in college when I worked at a factory for a summer with a friend. Mike and I were both familiar with Jesus. I was raised in a Christian home, always having gone to church. Mike was an NCAA wrestler for Athletes in Action, an offshoot of the Campus Crusade Ministry, a college Christian organization. We worked second shift from 3 o'clock to about 11:30, and from time to time we had a liquid lunch with some of the other workers. Ernie, however, worked further up the line and was a quiet but this big African-American man who one evening called Mike and myself aside during lunch and witnessed to us about Christ. You see, I knew I wasn't living a life aligned with Christ, but Ernie was. Ernie chose to be close to God, even in a place that at times could seem pretty godless. I'm grateful for his willingness to witness to myself in that place at that time in my life. Even when I wasn't attempting to be close to God, Ernie was reminding me of not only God's presence, but God's love for me. You see, like Ernie, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego still chose to intentionally be with God. The other thought on their move was this. Even in the midst of what might have seemed like a godless place in Babylon, God was still with his people. Let me say that again. Even in the midst of what might have seemed like a godless place in Babylon, God was still with his people. Even in the midst of the difficulties, God was present in the lives of those who knew him, and especially those who sought after God. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were no exception. And what impresses me most about these four is even when they could have decided to part ways of God for the good life, or to simply fit in with the world they found themselves in, they chose not to. Even though they were put in positions of authority in the king's administration, they would still only worship God. Now, I sometimes think that because God's hand was upon them, because they had decided to remain with God, they found favor in the eyes of the Babylonians. But it wouldn't always be like that. We've already heard about Daniel's faith when confronted with the lion's den in the children's message. Listen, King Nebuchadnezzar at another time had a golden statue of himself built 90 feet high. That's about a 9-story building that can easily be seen on the plain of Babylon, especially when there were only 1-story buildings around. And when people heard the sound of a horn or the instruments, they were to bow down and worship the statue. But you see, some Jews would not. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused, this was brought to the king's attention. Scripture says that King Nebuchadnezzar was furious with rage, and he summoned them, and then he questioned them, and then he told them to worship the image. And then he said this to them, "But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Then what God? What God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" As though Nebuchadnezzar was God. And remember, this is a God with a little g. And I don't know about you, but I trust in and worship the God with a capital G. Now, do you know what their reply to the king was? It was a reply that I want to be able to make in my life to others. They said this, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." Wow. Would you say that to someone who is applying big time pressure on you to announce, in effect, who your God is? Yes, I know for many we might never face this kind of heavy-handed opposition, yet sometimes I sometimes feel for many people it is difficult to openly associate with Christ, often out of fear for one of two things. It could be the fear of what others will think of you. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, God is such a crutch. Why believe in God? Or, I can't see this God of yours, so he must not exist. Or it could be the fear of not saying the right thing, making yourself sound foolish. So those are the two fears. The fears of what someone might say to you, or it could be the fear of not saying the right thing. But Jesus says this in Luke 9:26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Friends, I want to stand with the Apostle Paul, who said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. So don't be afraid of those, Jesus said, who can only kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. Friends, I know this is true and you do too, but sometimes we don't think about it. But eternity will last infinitely longer than our time here on earth. So live today with eternity in mind. And don't be afraid. But it's the end of their reply to the king we must all bear in mind. Let's finish their reply to the king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Yes. There will always be some level of fear when faced with these kinds of circumstances, and we are not the first to have faced them, nor will we be the last. And my guess is this fear has helped many people into the kingdom of God, this fear of being destroyed both body and soul. Yet I would rather choose to love God and to follow God, not out of fear, although it is a healthy reminder, but to love God because God first loved me. Even in the most difficult of moments, are you willing to confess Jesus as your Savior? Will you say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if God does not save me from pain, from physical or emotional distress, diseases like cancer, old age, bullies, or just plain bad people, that you will only bow down and worship the one true living God? For these young men, yes, they ended up in the furnace. But when the king looked in, he did not see three, but four. The last one looking like the son of the gods. I cannot assure you that like these three young men, you will not be impacted by the consequences of being with God. We might not experience that heavy-handedness or being forced to reject God. Yes, Jesus says, there will be, though, a cost to following him to be his disciples. And it may come at the expense of friendships. It may come at the expense of not following the crowd. Because the crowd will not deny themselves. The crowd will not pick up the cross of Christ and bear it day in and out. And the crowd will not seek to naturally follow Jesus. But I can assure you that God will be with you and see you through to the end, like God did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. At 10 years old, I did not fully understand that God would remain or be present with me. But I do know that in that time frame, God was present and God drew me closer to himself. God will do that today. The Holy Spirit is present in your life. All we need to know All we need to do is to trust God that it is so, and then to begin to listen for God as He speaks in our lives, to know that presence even in the midst of difficulties. Let us pray. God, we're grateful for all that You do and the reminder that You are present with us day in and day out. That no matter what we face in our lives, that You will be present with us. And God, we ask that You continue to draw us to Yourself. God, that You would help us to draw near to You. And God, that You will help us to show ourselves approved as Christians. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.